Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" This is God's word.
Well, we're going to have a bit of a think about this parable together now, which is all about how to live in light of the future. I'm going to explain the parable, and then we'll use the rest of our time discussing in our groups the outworking of what we hear here, as well as what we've been thinking about throughout the weekend as a whole. In Luke 16, Jesus wants his disciples to see two things: that wisdom is acting now in light of the future, and second, that the future, that faith, that in light of the future, faithfulness to him will be rewarded. So let's have a look at our parable. So verse one: there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. Now this manager is in deep trouble. He's been called into the rich man's office to give an account of his incompetence, because verse 2, he cannot be manager any longer. So the future firing is certain. That can't be avoided. But as he leaves the rich man's office, what will the manager do? How will he prepare for the time after his firing? So he weighs up his options, verse 3. He knows he can't hack manual labour. He's ashamed to beg. But he strikes upon an idea to ensure he'll always have a roof over his head, verse 4. So he acts decisively with a shrewd plan. He quickly goes about substantially reducing the debts of his master's debtors in the final days of his employment. So he says, "You owe 3,000 litres of olive oil, make it 1,500. 30 tonnes of wheat, make it 24. So our dishonest manager knows that he'll be out of a job. But now, as people are leaving his office, they'd be saying things like, "There'll always be a seat for you at our table. Drinks tonight or on me. Come and stay with us." He's gained friend for himself with his shrewd plan. Now, when the rich man calls the manager back in, we'd rightly expect that he'd be absolutely livid. But there is a surprise in this parable. I wonder if you spotted it. Verse 8, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. So he's like, "I've got to hand it to you. You might be incompetent, but you're no fool." Even more surprisingly, there's actually a lesson for Jesus' disciples to learn. I'll read verses 8 to 9. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings." So the principle is this: wise people act now in light of the future. That's just wisdom. Jesus is saying even someone who's ungodly knows this. Here we see an unscrupulous man being very shrewd. His time of reckoning had arrived, and he had to prepare for the rest of his life. He wanted to be welcomed into people's homes rather than in rags on the streets, and so it was a no-brainer. He did whatever it took for his life to go well. He might run the risk of getting his ear chewed off by his boss, but he'll take it so that he will be comfortable in the future. Now, Jesus isn't commending the manager's dishonesty, but there's a challenge for his disciples, verse 8. People of this world apply the principle, act now in light of the future, all the time in how they conduct their affairs. It's odd how people of the light can be so lacking in wisdom in how they conduct their affairs. People of the light know that eternity is coming, but they can still live as though this world is everything and put off living for eternity. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. And although the manager was dishonest, he wasn't a fool. Our day of reckoning before God is coming, as we've been thinking about, and we'll be called to give an account of what we've done with what we knew. We have 50 or so years left on earth. If we're wise, if we're shrewd, we'll do whatever it takes to live with what we have here for eternity with God. Jesus says, verse 9, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. A shrewd disciple will use their resources now in such a way as to win friends for eternity. People of this world use their resources to achieve social advancement, recognition, personal gain in this life. And that would be wise if this world was all there is. But people of the light know that that isn't true. They are to use their wits to be as shrewd, but they will redirect their earthly resources towards God's heavenly agenda of seeking and saving the lost. So to be clear, our resources can't buy our or anyone else's eternal life. And this isn't a parable just for the uber wealthy. Jesus is teaching all of his disciples, and all his disciples are to gain friends for themselves eternally. We can bear the cost in small and big ways so that many more can come home to the Father. And they will one day be a part of our welcome into eternity, which is quite an amazing thought. That's a brilliant and shrewd use of God-given resources. People are worth so much more than anything that can be bought. So the principle, wise people act now in light of what happens in the future. Then in verses 10 to 12, Jesus cashes out this principle in one way for us. He reworks the teaching of verses 1 to 9 in terms of faithfulness. So second point, be faithful now and you'll be rewarded in eternity. I'll just read verses 10 to 12 if you could look with me. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Jesus wants his disciples to be trustworthy with the things that they've been entrusted with in this life. And it's interesting, we can spend a lot of time, I know I can, focusing on what I don't have. But Jesus is way more concerned about what we do with what we already have. The assumption that he makes is that the possessions each disciple has doesn't really belong to him or her anyway. All disciples are like the manager. Possessions are theirs on trust. How will we use them? If a child can't be trusted with very little, they can't be trusted with very much. Now, God isn't being mean. He's just not an idiot. You know, what he's doing is what any good parent would do. A parent would be foolish to give their child their full inheritance early when they've only ever blown their pocket money selfishly and never saved. Our Heavenly Father wants to give his children valuable things in the new creation. and he trains us to handle it now with very little, worthless things like stuff and money. If we're trained to be grateful and generous, then he can safely give us true riches. But if we use our earthly resources to grow pride, envy, conceit, just a desire to further our own reputation, make ourselves more comfortable, what can we expect to be entrusted with? Using earthly resources to gain friends for eternity is wise and will be greatly rewarded. I think it's really uncomfortable hearing from Jesus in this parable, as well as really comforting. And hopefully there's a bit of a mix of both within all of us, because all of us will need his loving training and correction in some area of our life. We all struggle to live for the here and now and use what he's given purely for our own pleasure. But we can be encouraged. Investing in eternity will be rewarded. So the time you came to church for the sake of brothers and sisters when you really wanted to stay in, the times you risked your reputation at work for the sake of Jesus, the money you gave to further kingdom growth or just to be kind to that person who was in need, the times you fumbled through trying to share the gospel, and the time you've invested in serving others. It's all seen by Jesus. He doesn't miss a thing. And one day he'll reward his disciples with true riches beyond what we can imagine. So how are we to respond? Well, I'm not going to tell you how to live in light of Jesus' certain return and the wonderful reward that awaits us. We're going to spend some time in our groups now, looking over the questions on page 10, I think it is, in our books. A mixture of questions, thinking about what we've heard in the parable, as well as what we've heard in the last three talks.